If you're a therapist listening, you already know your work doesn't magically end when the session does. There's scheduling, notes, billing, insurance follow-ups, all of the admin that happens before and after the work you actually care about. That's where Simple Practice comes in. Simple Practice is an all-in-one EHR built specifically for therapists with HIPAA-compliant tools and high-trust certification. No juggling systems or cutting corners just to keep things moving. Scheduling, documentation, billing, insurance, client communication, even automated appointment reminders, it all lives in one place. And if you're starting or growing a practice, Simple Practice also offers a credentialing service that helps simplify insurance enrollment, which can be a huge lift alone. It's no surprise Simple Practice is trusted by over 250,000 health and wellness professionals. Start with a 7-day free trial, then get 50% off your first 3 months. Go to simplepractice.com to claim the offer. That's simplepractice.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we are back, and we have with us tonight gubernatorial candidate Heather Hill from Ohio. And Heather, I promised you the 30 minutes, and of course we went a little over with Judge Engler. He had a very important announcement. But out there, you are running for governor of the state of Ohio, and you can use all the help you can get here.
Absolutely.
And so go ahead and tell the folks again how, out there how they can help you, get in touch. Your positions, you take the pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family, pro-God position on all of these areas. So what else can you tell them?
Well, just to tell you a little bit about what I stand for, I am always America and Ohio first. I support no property taxes, no data centers, deregulation efforts, releasing Ohio energy. I am pro-life and pro-family. I believe in educational choice, medical freedom, reshoring our factories. I also 100% support CPS reform and protecting our families. I believe in government transparency, deporting criminals, securing our borders, cutting taxes, absolutely no men and women sports. My daughter is a college rugby player, and I have seen firsthand what happens when we have transgender men on the field with our women. It's horrible. I support farmers. I support farmland. I believe that we should have no bioengineered foods. And I also support survivors, and I support releasing the Epstein files in their entirety and supporting the Epstein survivors.
All right.
I'll give you a little bit of information about who I am and what I believe in. Again, and I'm going to have to jump off of here, so I'm going to make this really quick if I can. Again, I'm Heather Hill. I'm running for governor, and it's Heather. It's fightlikehill.com. Again, fightlikehill.com. The phone number is 740-624-0162. Shoot me a text message. Leave me a voicemail. And I will get back to you.
All right. Good luck, Heather, and with your race. I know you got an uphill battle.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for having me.
All righty. Well, keep us informed on your progress. God bless, and have a great night.
God bless you as well. Thank you.
All righty. We have a lot of stuff to cover tonight. First of all, now I've got Spunky over there with me. You know, Spunky, I heard a rumor that you never met a Democrat you didn't like.
I don't know who you're listening to these rumors from. What did I tell you about listening to those rumors?
All right. Anyhow, I suppose you don't even know who John Castanatis is, do you?
Who's John Castanatis?
He's the guy that owns the biggest grocery chain in New York. And he's got this huge chain of grocery stores in New York City. And here now, Moran Domandi says that he is going to open these grocery stores. He's going to put millions of dollars to open in grocery stores. And they're going to sell food at cost. And he said he's going to really bring the competition. Well, you have all of these bodegas and you have these grocery stores. And John Castellanos said, look, he spent billions of dollars building up a chain. What do you think would happen if Mondami goes in there and they start supposedly selling groceries at cost? How do you think it would affect John Castellanos?
Yeah, they're not going to do that because he won't make any money from it. That's going to be a very short-lived endeavor.
Well, you see, the socialist doesn't make any money, right? That's the whole point.
No, but the capitalist John Castellanos has to.
Yeah, he's got to, and he said he would move, and they'll move it right out of New York. But here's the thing. Let me ask you this. Do you think these people, all these illegal aliens that this food is for, do you think they'll actually pay anything for it, or do you think they'll just go in and steal as much as they want?
I don't even know if they'll go in and steal as much as they're just going to be given government services to go and afford it on our tax dollar. Well, not ours, but the New Yorkers' tax dollar. I don't even think they have to steal. They're going to be giving it to them through different government programs.
I think what they're going to do, I think they're going to go like they've done in so many other things, and just go in and storm and break into and take whatever they want. That's they're lawless. I think that's what they'll do. But I don't think it's going to last very long. We have some things out here that I want to hit something that's kind of local, folks, out here. But it's the same thing that's happening in your neck of the woods like it is here. And that's the Dark Money Network. There's a Dark Money Network for folks that floods Geauga County. And primary with the Geauga County primary with anonymous attacks. Here, this is an article. It's called The Voice of Geauga, a media company. It's a really, really good newspaper. It's a very small, goes out to about 45,000 people in Geauga, households in Geauga County. It's very conservative, and we have the deep state. Remember how we warned you about all of these Democrats that were running as Republicans, and that's what they've been doing, and we warned you, and now many of them are in office because people, they just looked and they saw an R behind their mind, and Geauga County is a red county, and they didn't pay attention, they didn't listen, and we try to tell them, listen, you know, those people are not Republicans, they're Democrats, and they actually sent out letters, and I got one that said, someone brought me one, and they sent them out to all the Democrats on their list saying, in the primary, vote for these people. They're really not Republicans. They're Democrats running as Republicans. We can't win if we run as Democrats, so we're going to run as Republicans, okay? And here, let me read you this article, because this article's right on. A shadowy stream of outside money is pouring into the Geauga County local election, raising serious concerns about transparency, accountability, and the integrity of upcoming May primary. At the center of the controversy is a Wadsworth-based group calling itself Ohioans for Responsible Government, operating under the cover of a nonprofit structure. The organization is spending heavily on political mailers while concealing the identity of its donors through a legal intermediary. An arrangement that has effectively shields the true source of the funding from the public scrutiny. Again, I want to read this off to you again, folks. Pay attention now. This is happening here, but it's not just Geauga County. It's different counties in Ohio. But, folks, the very same situation is happening all across the country. We've been warning you about this, but it's happening now. Again, I want to say this again. Here, Ohio, this group called, it's a Wadsworth here, an Ohio-based group calling itself Ohioans for Responsible Government, operating under the cover of a nonprofit structure. The organization is spending heavily on political mailers, and I'm looking at some of the political mailers right here, while they're concealing the identity of its donors through a legal intermediary, that's what I try to say, an arrangement that effectively shields the true source of the funding from public scrutiny. In recent weeks, residents across Jug County have reported receiving a wave of unsolicited postcards. I got one myself, okay? These mailers attack certain candidates while promoting others, often in ways that suggest official party backing. The implication is flatly contradicted by local leadership. Geauga County residents, party chairman Joan Windenagel issued a clear statement about an endorsement mailer. The mailer is not sent by the Geauga County Republican Party. But that's the what they're trying, the opinion that they're trying to give you. I want to jump over here and pick this up here on page 7. And I'm not on page 7. Let me jump over here very quickly. It goes on to say, the designation, the distinction matters. The Geauga County GOP does not endorse candidates in primary elections, making the message the messaging on these mailers not just misleading, but potentially deceptive. Of course they're deceptive. The operation behind the campaign appears carefully constructed to obscure accountability. The group is using an out-of-county printing company in Valley View to mass-produce its materials while routing financial activity through a nonprofit corporation. The result is a political effort with significant reach, but no visible ownership. The targets of these attacks are not random. Candidates who have questioned regional governments, in other words, especially those, anyone who stood up against NWACA, which is a very sinister organization, regional governance structures, pushed for local control of challenged established positions, appear to be disproportionately singled out. Several races have been affected, including contests for county commissioner, county auditor, and probate court judge. Perhaps the most telling is the group's focus on low-profile central committee races, positions that typically wield minimal institutional power but can serve as a platform for grassroots influence. Targeting these candidates suggests a broader strategy, not just winning elections, but suppressing dissent at the earliest stages. Critics argue that the organization's name, Ohioans for Responsible Government, rings hollow given its tactics, the use of the dark money channels, vague disclosures, and geographically denounced vendors follow a well-established pattern in modern political influence campaigns, maximize impact while minimizing traceability. Adding to the concern, some of the mailers reportedly lack clear disclaimers required for political communications. Others appear designated to blur the line between independent advocacy and official party messaging, further clouding voters' understanding of who is speaking and why. For a county with a long-standing emphasis on home rule and resistance to outside interference, the situation is particularly jarring. Geauga voters have historically pushed back against efforts perceived as an advanced regional or external agendas at the expense of the local control. See, the problem of it is they think that this organization is a part of the Republican Party. It's not. It's not. These are Democrats. These are, if you will, rhinos. Now, as early voting begins, the influx of anonymous political messaging raises a fundamental question. Who is trying to influence Geauga County, and what do they stand to gain? Voters are left to sort through polished mail pieces funded by unknown sources, funneled through intermediaries in Medina County, Valley View, and beyond. What is clear is that transparency is not part of the strategy. In a local election where accountability should be clause be closed to the people, closest to the people, the presence of hidden money and masked intentions stand out sharply. And for many in Jug County, it's a development worth watching very, very closely. And I just wanted to say, message from the Jug County Republican Party. Dear Jug County residents, you may have received a mailer from the Ohioans for Responsible Government. The mailer stated that the select Republican primary candidates are of endorsed Republicans for Jug County Republican voters. The mailer includes select candidates' names and photos with the green check mark next to each. The mailer was not sent out by the Jug County Republican Party, and the Jug GOP did not endorse any of those candidates here, is what by our bylaws say, the primary election endorsement. So we were telling you all along, folks, this is the deep state. This is on a local level here. And I'm going to be bringing you more. There's a lot more to this than what I just brought you tonight. We're going to be naming some of these people here the rest of this week. So a couple things very quickly. All right. One of those folks that certain people think are okay or to have friends here. New report from conservative think tank claims Gavin Newsom spent $1 billion to import 400,000 illegal aliens. According to a new report from the Manhattan Institute, California Governor Gavin Newsom not only allowed thousands of illegals to pour into his state, he paid a massive amount of money in order for it to happen. It was done mainly through grants that were given to charities, which had turned around and added in all of this illegal immigration. These were tax dollars. The people of California essentially paid for this without their consent. Taxpayers are furious. Well, we'll see, because Gavin doesn't have to. Okay, so Style, should he get charged with a crime for doing that?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you're right. He absolutely for what he did to the people. He's absolutely now. But here's the other side of this. Californians are benefiting financially for fleeing the Golden State. California may be called the Golden State, but residents who flee end up with much more green in their pockets. A report released last month by California Policy Lab concluded that Californians who leave the state often end up with more in affordable communities and are able to build wealth much more easily. When residents move, they save an average of $672 per month on housing expenses alone, such as rent or mortgage, utilities, property taxes, and insurance. The median home price for them is $398,000 lower, marking a 48% cost savings relative to the California community they leave. As a result, they are more likely to realize a key part of the American dream by becoming homeowners. They're about 48% more likely to own a home relative to a similar California home who stayed in the state, according to the California Policy Lab. Evan White, the executive director of California Policy Lab at UC Berkeley, noted. Okay, let me. Well, I'm just going to drop it right there. That's, you know, I can. That makes a whole lot of sense, Style, because, you know, people that have been battling, paying all those high prices for everything in California, those that have a certain amount of income, whatever their income through, maybe some of them are retirements from, you know, federal workers, whatever. All of a sudden, they leave California, and the dollar goes twice as far. Makes a lot of sense to me. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think most people understand that California is
economically in shambles, and at 100% I advocate anybody to leave and actually go somewhere where it's affordable to live. You know, I have a conversation all the time with a friend of mine who had lived out in Arizona and had seen the influx of people from California into come buying land in Arizona because it was cheaper. And because of that, obviously, the property value and the cost of living in Arizona increased because of it. We see it all the time in Texas as well now. But I had this conversation because he was very anti-Ohio at the time. And he grew up here. He moved out because of the Air Force and ended up getting stationed out on the West Coast and was very anti-Ohio just because seemingly the environment. But we had this conversation of there's a lot that's wrong and there's a lot we need to change. And hopefully we can get a candidate in there who's going to enact these changes. But even with the housing crisis at what it's at and the tax crisis at what it's at in Ohio, we still have a more affordable cost of living than a lot of places. And, you know, it sucks.
Well, it's a more than every single blue state. I mean, I wouldn't want to live in New Jersey. Okay. You'd be surprised how many people have called me from New Jersey asking if there's any homes for sale up in this area here. In fact, several actually came up here and visited and looking around. They want to get out of that state. But you got, and just what happened just recently in the state of Washington, where they passed another, what they call billionaire or millionaire tax on the wealthy, which is automatically, their billionaires are moving out of there, and many of them are moving to Florida. And it's an interesting thing where, remember where our California Gavin Newsom went to Florida for his vacation. You know, he lives in California. He went to, you know, I guess he went because he could do it much cheaper there in Florida. But anyhow, so they keep, in other words, it's about as stupid is as stupid does. And when you have people leaving the state because of high taxes, the dumbest thing you can do is raise the taxes more, and that's what they're doing. Not real smart. Anyhow, do you know who Dr. David Morans is, don't you?
Who's Dr. David Morans?
Oh, gee, you don't know any of these things. You ever hear of a fellow named Anthony Fauci?
Yep.
Well, he was his number one right-hand man. He's number one advisor. Guess what? He's being indicted on fraud charges. You suppose he did some things illegal, and guess what he's doing? He's rolling over on Fauci because he said he was just obeying his orders. So what do you think of that?
I mean, that's great. I'll you know, believe it when Fauci actually gets charged, though, that he's going to face any kind of punishment. No one else does. So I hope, I pray, but we'll see. I'm not holding my breath for Fauci to get charged. No one else ever does. So
Fauci and Mariorkas, that guy, they really need to find him. I don't know where he's been hiding, but he did horrible things. Of course, Fauci did horrible, horrible things, even to children. Okay, both of them. Anyhow, here now, King Charles, you know who he is, right?
Yep.
But he's over here, and he's trying to apologize in his own way for the actions of his government, okay? You know, we have military bases in the United Kingdom, you know, keeping them safe, you know, keeping them safe. But they would not even allow our military to use our bases to assist in the war against Iran. And King Charles is kind of embarrassed by that. And so he's over here doing his best, trying to find a way to apologize because he's got a prime minister. I think they have what? Their prime ministers last about, what, a year over there?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it just seems like they last about a year or two. Okay. All right. Democrats are blaming the three assassination attempts on Trump. They're saying those three assassination attempts on Trump is his own fault. They're blaming it on Trump. In other words, they're making the victim the perpetrator. Does it kind of seem like these liberal judges are doing this lawfare? They're putting these rapists, putting these murderers back on the streets. Does it not seem like they're making the victims They're the ones that's paying the price, the perpetrators. Unbelievable. Now here's another one. Jim Comey has been indicted again. This time it's not going to go so easy on him, I don't think. The former FBI director who was a part of the coup against President Trump. And there's an arrest warrant out. If he don't turn himself in, they're going to arrest him. So what do you think of that?
Like I said, I'll believe it when I see it. There have been a lot of warrants and a lot of subpoenas and a lot of... I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, they didn't. The last time he didn't have an arrest warrant. He didn't have one. This time he does. And they told him already, if you don't turn yourself in, we're going to come get you. So we'll see. I agree with you. We'll see. You know. All right. You know what the UAE is, don't you?
Yep.
Do you know they're splitting away? They're getting out of OPEC. Did you know that?
I didn't see that, no.
Yeah. And you know what OPEC is, don't you?
I don't know entirely who makes it up, but...
It's a cartel. In other words, they're the ones who set the prices on the oil, how much oil you can drill. In other words, it's not the free market. They decide that. But now, and it's going to benefit the United States. It's going to benefit a lot of people, okay? One of the strange things is in this country, and I can't understand why it is, but we have oil that we drill here. We have oil that we can't refine here. We have to send it to other countries to get it refined, and then the vice versa. We bring in other oil from other countries that we do refine here. And that doesn't make sense to me. So, right? I mean, if I had my way... The oil we drill here, we should be able to refine, don't you think so?
I mean, you'd think so. It almost seems like it's never really been about oil, but rather, you know, who can make more money from what country and association and what they can get back in return. I think it's, you know, it goes back to the argument of we can talk about the Strait of Hormuz and how, you know, even before that, we had people refusing to buy oil from Russia, so more people started buying oil from the United States. In theory, that's a great thing that helps our economy. But what it actually does is it limits our own oil supply because we also stopped buying oil from Russia. So that's why our oil and our gas prices went up so drastically. It wasn't about the war. I mean, that didn't help at all. But we're also now doubling our oil outputs, and so that we have to charge our own citizens more for oil.
Does that mean you're going to buy an electric car?
No.
All right. Mad Men. Actress Gina... who January Jones is?
No.
January Jones is an actress. She's pushing a conspiracy theory that President Trump staged the whole White House assassination. Here, the shooting took place on Saturday at the Washington Hilton, where President Trump's first lady, Melania Trump, and by J.D. Vance were attending the annual black tie event. Despite the clear evidence of a politically motivated attack by the left-wing activist, complete with manifesto confessing his motives, Jones, best known for her role as Betty Draper on Mad Men. Okay, now I have seen that. Let me see. Mad Men, I think. Maybe I've got that confused. There was a sitcom on, and I only saw maybe a few minutes of a couple of those that was just a big corporate, like had to do with corporate espionage and corporate this, and they had in there the number of the wives of the corporate executives were very pretty, and I recognize this one now. I've seen her face now. Despite the clear evidence of politically motivated attack by left-wing activists, complete with manifesto confessing his motives, Jones, best known for her role as Betty Draper on Mad Men, mocked the deadly innocent incident as a fabricated stunt orchestrated by the Trump administration to escape a boring dinner party. Do you have a boring dinner party? coming up and lots of losers and fake friends have RSVP'd, Jones began. Are you looking for help staging a small-scale, low-risk assassination attempt to get out of it? Look no further. The U.S. government is your man. Call us now at 1-800-WE-HATE-AMERICANS. The actress wrote in an Instagram stories post after the attack. So what do you think?
I'm not going to sit here and give her any credit to this. This is ridiculous, but I'm not going to, you know. I don't like the people jumping here sitting, no, it's all staged, it's all fake, it's all a plot. I think that's ridiculous to jump to that immediately, but I also think there's a lot of red flags that need addressed. You're telling me the White House has this minimal security. You're telling me that this guy who's the shooter, now confirmed to be the shooter, just happened to have an IDF sweatshirt in his Facebook profile that got taken down hours after the shooting and is scrubbed from the internet now. You're telling me that he had a manifesto that laid out all the conservative talking points one by one. And it there's too much, especially with witness testimony now saying that, oh, people were acting strange. I mean, watching the videos we have of it, people were acting strange. You have Stephen Miller hiding behind his wife, his pregnant wife. You have people who aren't moving at all while this is going on. There's a lot of red flags here, and I'm not going to say that, it was all a conspiracy and it was staged by the government, because it very well could be, but I need more right now, because I don't believe either side. I do think it's very, very convenient this happened all as a means to get a ballroom. I feel like that argument is blown up now that, oh, this is why we need the ballroom. That's conveniently cropped, but again, I'm not going to sit here and say it was or wasn't, you know, a ploy by any one particular person or government. I think there's a lot of inconsistency we're seeing, and we're not going to get an investigation on it, so I'll sit here and speculate.
It looks like the Secret Service agent that was shot by one of his own. Anyhow, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Much more to come.
The world has been computerized, it's changing every day. Soon there'll be no money, there will be another way. Everyone will have a number, it'll all be done with ease. The world will think it's wonderful, but they will be deceived. In Revelation chapter 13, it tells about a mark. You can't buy or sell without it, you'll take it or you'll starve. At the checkout now they scan your medicine and food. It won't be long and they'll be scanning you. Numbers run the system, they have for quite a while. Look at the numbers we have on the cards we carry now. Let this all be a warning, it is wisdom, listen well. There's a number coming from the very pits of hell. In Revelation chapter 13, it tells about a mark. You can't buy or sell without it, you'll take it or you'll starve. At the checkout now they scan your medicine and food. It won't be long and they'll be scanning you. Then in chapter 14 it says those who take the mark on their foreheads or their hands are gonna drink the wrath of God. It says they'll be tormented, they'll have no rest day or night. close are we to the rapture when the number is in sight? In Revelation chapter 13, it tells about a mark. You can't buy or sell without it. You'll take it or you'll starve. At the checkout now they scan your medicine and food. It won't be long and they'll be scanning you.
Have you ever heard that song before, Style?
I have not.
It's kind of strange, isn't it?
That was, I suppose so.
That was my good friend Danny Ray, who went home to be with the Lord and me. Danny was quite a talented man. I got a letter. I'm going to read it, okay? This letter is from Carol. And here's what Carol says. Dear Pastor Ernie, we need your program now, now more than ever. I'm 88 years old and live by myself. Can't get to my Orthodox church. I need to have the word and the peace it gives now more than ever. Lost my husband 5 years ago, and the loneliness I feel at times is, well, it's just not good. I appreciate your program so much. Love, Carol. Carol, you don't know how much a letter like that means to me. It really means a lot because it's people like you out there. You're the salt of the earth. And so many of the folks that they send it, I get so many letters like that from people. And God bless y'all. And God bless Carol, and she's 88 years old, so she got her 70, and instead of 70, she got her 78. God bless you, lady. Hope to see you in heaven someday. All right. Now, you know who I won't see in heaven, though? I'm not going to see this fella, Patrick Mayer, I tell you that. You know why? Wisconsin high school teacher placed an administrative leave after whining that the shooter failed to assassinate President Trump. A social studies teacher at, High School has been caught openly lamenting that the latest deranged assassin didn't manage to kill President Trump. These people have access to children. They should not have access to children. Patrick Mayer, identified as the taxpayer-funded educator pushing his anti-Trump on social media, posted a now-deleted rant on X following the shooting at the White House correspondence dinner. According to screenshots by Libs TikTok, Mayer wrote, "I am not impressed with the recent presidential assassin. It's blankety-blankety embarrassing. Booth, Goltenau, Zolgaz, Oswald almost have been spinning their, who are these other people? I know.
Other Booth. Assassins.
Okay. Yeah, I realize, yeah. Must all have be spinning in their graves. Okay. Make America great assassins again," said. I don't even want to read any more of this guy. This guy is pathetic. He has access to children, which is unbelievable. They shouldn't have access to children. But some good news is, there's some other good news. Not only is Comey getting indicted, but here, DOJ indicts Southern Poverty Law Center for funding KKK, defrauding donors, accusations including giving funds to undercover operatives who helped plan notorious 2017 Charlottesville rally. Now, we were the ones, Style, that exposed that. Right here. Pardon? Oh, Pastor Hal. We were, yeah, bring him up.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Hal, you would remember in 2017, we exposed that when they had that rally there in Charlotte, Virginia. Remember, we had people calling in right from that rally saying, you got to see this, Pastor. You've got, we're looking here, the buses are coming in, bus after bus, and they have white supremacists, they have the Ku Klux Klan, they have Antifa, they have the Black Panthers. They're all getting off the buses together. They're on the same buses wearing T-shirts. And so what does that tell you, Hal?
It was all organized by the left.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. The Trump Department of Justice has indicted the Southern Poverty Law Center for 11 counts of fraud, and the indictment reveals a pattern of funding extreme right activists and some protesters that some suggest demonstrators that the organizations were operating in bad faith for years, smearing and defaming individuals. We told people, remember when they first started, the very first thing that they wanted to do was lower the age of sexual consent to 6 years old. They had a saying, by eight it's too late. And we told people, the Southern Poverty Law Center is run by millionaires, multimillionaires, that are pedophiles, okay? People back then and here, the DOJ has released and published the full indictment against the Southern Poverty Law Center. The indictment claims the SPLC opened accounts in the names of entities like Center Investigation Agencies, Fox Photography, Northwest Technologies, Tech Writers, Groups, Rare Books, Warehouses, and used those accounts to move money in ways that concealed the true sources and the purpose. The fake front groups were used as money conduits for the Southern Poverty Law Center to raise money from left-wing donors to fund extreme right-wing groups who also fund agent provocateurs, activists. It was alleged urging groups to engage in violent discussions and actions. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche told the media, the SPLC is manufacturing racism to justify its existence. Guess how they got caught. Who do you think turned them in? The first was the banks. The banks that they were funneling this money thought there was something very strange going on in the way that they were moving money. But the others was, see, what they were paying the leaders of these different organizations to go down, put on a good show, act violent, okay? They were paying them to do that, but they didn't. Not everyone who thought they should have got paid, okay? Some who expected to get paid more didn't, and they... And so they're singing like a birds on the PLC. Okay. Leftist former employees of the SPLC are whining at MSNBC that this is just fake news. They're calling. That's amazing. The left turning on the left. That is amazing there. But anyhow, let me go very quickly. In August of 2017, Charlottesville Unite the Right rally was held in Charlottesville, Virginia, bringing together free speech advocates and those who wanted to preserve a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from destruction. The DOJ indictment shows the rally was partially planned by a longtime paid SPLC field operative. The Gateway Pundit has reported consistently over years that the mainstream narrative about Charlottesville was consistently wrong. And anyhow, I'm going to stop there because we all know the story now. But Anyhow, it's that time. You got about 7 minutes, Pastor Hal, to tell the folks out there listening how they can get to that lake of fire. No, they can't get to the lake of fire.
No.
All right. Okay.
All right.
How they can spend. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the most important thing anybody can do is make a decision on wanting to go to heaven instead of going to hell and follow God's instruction to do it. You know, there's a lot of voices out there in the world, a lot of different churches and religions and religious leaders telling people their way to get to heaven. And almost every one of those ways involves your good works, you're doing something, and to earn points to get to heaven. And that's the difference between true Christianity and every false religion out there is false religion tells you you got to earn your way to heaven. You got to do something. And like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they go around knocking on doors. The Mormons will go around on their bicycles and talk to people and everything. But that's all false. If you could quit sinning right now and never sin again to the day you died, just the sins you've already done would keep you out of heaven. You see, God loves you, but he hates your sins. God cannot let sin into heaven, no matter how much he loves you. And so that's why any sins you've done in the past would negate if you became a perfect person now, from now to the time you died, it still wouldn't let you into heaven because of the sins you've already done. But God doesn't want you to go to hell, so he offered, Lord Jesus Christ offered to pay the payment for our sins. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to transfer every sin you and I have ever done onto his son Jesus. So right before Jesus died, he said, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for our redemption has been done by Jesus, paid in full, and offered to us as our redemption if we pray and ask him to come into our heart. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's a free gift. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. And then John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You see, it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. It's not your good works, because your good works can't wash away sin. But the blood of Christ can wash away the worst sins you've ever done, as many as you've ever done. You could be the worst sinner that ever lived. But if you come to Christ with a humble heart, a repentant heart, Luke 13:3 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So getting saved from hell is a matter of you coming to Jesus Christ, admitting to him that you're just a lost sinner on your road to hell, and that you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and asking Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And so that's what salvation by faith is all about. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you ask him to come into your heart and save you, he's going to do it. And Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. That means right now while I'm talking to you, Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart, and he's asking you if you'll open up that door and let him come in. Now, he could force his way in because he's God, but then salvation wouldn't be a gift. And it means more to God that you choose to turn to him and be reconciled to him than him making a robot out of you and making you do it. So your salvation is a free gift that God is offering you. If you, by faith, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, ask Jesus to come into your heart. No amount of work you ever do, if you lived a million lifetimes, could wash away one sin that you've already done. You got to understand that. Only by coming to God, admitting you're helpless and hopeless without Jesus, and you want to receive the payment Jesus paid for you on that cross, that's the only way you can be saved. That's not because I'm saying that. That's going on the authority of God's word. And God ought to know, because he's the one that planned the plan of salvation for us. So don't listen to nobody or nothing else. You know, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. That means if anybody, I don't care if it was the Pope or Billy Graham or anybody, ever said something contrary to what God says for salvation, you could tell them to go take a long walk off a short pier and do it God's way. That's the smartest thing you could do. So now my job as a preacher is to lead men and women to Christ. If God hears me talking to you right now, God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now, And if you prayed and sincerely asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, he's going to do it. So what do you say we do that? What do you say right now we pray together a simple prayer? I can lead you a few words at a time, and you can repeat after me. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in. So let's do that right now. Just simple childlike faith. Take God at his promise. He cannot lie, and he's making you a promise. So let's pray. Dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And I right here and now, Lord, ask you to come into my heart, forgive me for all my sins, and save my soul from hell, because you died on that cross to do that and give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and him only, it's not him plus your church or anything else like that, but when you trust Jesus Christ 100% and his shed blood for you on that cross, he came into your heart, and the Holy Spirit came in with him, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit gave you a spiritual birth into God's family. That's John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That happens the very moment you sincerely ask Jesus to come into your heart. And so now you're spiritually alive as well as physically alive. And if you was to die right now, your soul would go straight to heaven instead of going to hell. And 1 John 5:13, God makes a promise to people that sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart as their Savior. And that promise is this: these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that word believe on meant believe to the point of receiving. It's not just an academic belief up in your head, but it's where you actually believe to the point where you reach out and receive him and what he did for you at Calvary into your heart through prayer and asking him to come into your heart. That you may, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, not just think it or wish it or wonder about it or hope for it, but that you may know, that's 100% certain, that you have is a present tense verb. It means you got it right now. You don't have to wait till you die to find out if you're going to heaven or hell. Jesus just gave you eternal life, the life he got purchased for you on that cross, that you may know you have eternal life. That's heaven. Eternal life is heaven. Eternal death or damnation would be hell. Now, according to God's promise and your prayer, if you prayed, sincerely prayed that in simple childlike faith, trust in God, that means if you drop dead right now, your soul would be with Jesus before your body even hits the floor. Because the Apostle Paul said to be present with the absent.
1 minute, Hal. 1 minute. With,
okay.
1 minute.
Or to be, yes. The Apostle Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's for born-again Christians only, like you are now if you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So, folks, if I don't see you between now and then, I'll see you in heaven. And I know I had to talk fast because I only had a few minutes here. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, you have eternal life. Okay, God bless.
All right, very good. Well, we're out of time for tonight. So as we get to this time, every night at this time, people say, well, how do you know if you meant it or not, folks? If you don't really know whether or not when you pray that prayer, then what you do is you pray and you ask God to give you that peace that passes all understanding. He will, but he'll do it in his time, not yours. So, all right, we're out of time again. So we want to say good night. We want to say thanks for being here. We want to say God bless to all of you. We want to say thanks for all your support. And then we want to say always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.